listening to Get Sports Radio.
Episode number 22, Monday Night Quarterback. It is the Week 2 edition. I'm Dan Claskins, your host, and happy to have you back in with us here on another edition. Week 2 nearly in the books. I bring you this podcast, recording just about at the time Monday Night Football's matchup between the Lions and the Giants set to go off here in a matter of moments. It is Monday, September the 18th, and what a crazy opening weekend of fantasy football action we had a week ago. Followed up by a pretty crazy week, too, as well. The injuries starting to pile up a little bit. We've got a lot of things starting to come to light. I think there's some situations, especially some backfields, that are coming to light. Other position battles, they're as murky as ever. And now is the time to act and do so accordingly. You've started off the process really nice for yourself because you're tuning into the podcast. I invite you to subscribe. You can do so. iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, GetSportsInfo.com, the home of the podcast, and of course, always get me on Twitter, at Dan Claskins. And coming off a pretty fun weekend, spent some time with my lovely wife, Kelly, went up to Denver, celebrating our 20 years together, and took a nice trip out here from Cincinnati to Denver and enjoyed a great concert, finally kicked the bucket list item, checked off the list of attending a concert at the Red Rocks. Got to see Revolution, Hyrie, and others there, and wow, what a great display that was. What an amazing trip. Checked out Coors Field as well, so pretty pumped with that. Now, the way home, did run into some snags, so we had some mechanical issues that basically had me watching football on my iPad pretty much of the day inside Denver's airport. That sort of sucked, but thank God for football, and thank God for NFL ticket on the go there, as well as the Wi-Fi there at the airport. It worked out pretty well, but you know, if you're just getting into the podcast, I'm going to try to do two a week during the season here. This one on Monday night, typically, renaming it again, and go back and forth, but at the end of the day, Monday Night Quarterback is because I tape it here on Monday night. On Friday afternoon during the season, most Fridays, I will be bringing you a happy hour podcast. So before you go out for that after work cocktails, pull up to the table and let me dish you out a little fantasy advice. And of course, you know, you can always get my work at Pro Football Focus as well. Tuesdays, I'll be doing a stock report there on a trend article, looking at some different trends and stuff. On Wednesdays, of course, my rankings found there exclusively. Get some great deals on PFF Edge. If you get it on my website, GetSportsInfo.com here, and go to Fantasy Football on the links of PFF Deals. You sign up for the package there, the year-round subscription. I'll give you my email coach. It's a side service I offer there as well to help you set your lineups. That's basically a $20 value for free. If you just sign up for the PFF Edge there, you can get all my articles. And if you're lucky enough to be a subscriber already, you're in good hands there with our premium products at Pro Football Focus. And in terms of my article this week, you know, in the stock article, I have already submitted for tomorrow's posting. A couple guys interesting there. Some names going up, some guys coming down. And I think Hunter Henry is a great one because here's a guy that after he didn't get a target in week one, I saw him out in my 13 season-long leagues. I think he was dumped in four of them. I actually made a move on him in three of those. I'm just so loaded in the other one, I didn't have the roster spot. Actually acquired him in two of those leagues, and one of those leagues was the only league where I had Greg Olsen shares, which we'll get to him in a minute on the injury report. But bottom line is, a better week two here for Hunter Henry is seven catches, 80 yards, against Miami in the loss there by the Chargers. And you know, Los Angeles, they got an offense. They're going to be playing from behind a lot too, I think. And yeah, Gates is going to vulture those touchdowns near the goal line. That does limit Henry's value, but no way, especially given some of these injuries we're going to talk about here at the moment at the position. This guy should be dangling on any waiver wires. And I have a feeling those owners that booted him to the curb after week one are probably going to be kicking themselves before the season's out. And a guy going down that I talk about in my article this week at Pro Football Focus, Jordan Howard. And wow, talk about a guy. Few players have seen their stock drop so quickly. And I don't think anybody, without the benefit of an injury, seeing it go this bad. Howard, a guy that was a second-round pick most this summer, just 9 carries for 7 yards here in week 2, and Tariq Cohen continues to get it done. But this Bears offense is brutal. It was bad to begin with, but then they lose Cam Meredith and Kevin White. They have nothing at receiver. Cohen is the behind the lead guy that's going to be in there in passing situations. So Howard, I mean, he's a borderline RB2 right now at best, and I don't have any shares of him in my 13 season long leagues. It wasn't because I hated him, it just didn't work out that way. I was taking Jay Ajayi in that second round and maybe even diversifying with a little DeMarco Murray if I was going running back, and that hasn't worked out beautifully. But I will say, Jordan Howard, I'm sweating bullets. This guy's RB31 in PPR formats moving forward. So be sure to check out that all the great articles by an amazing staff at Pro Football Focus, and that's where you can get that. And, you know, talking about week 2 and getting into the game balls, we'll be handing out our Game U Sock Award as well. Yeah, it's starting to get to that point where there's guys that I liked or maybe I didn't. Yeah, some of them I've gotten right through 2 weeks and there's a lot of season left. Some of them I can already say I probably got wrong, and you got to be able to deal with the disappointments. And that's the lesson for this week's podcast, is don't stick on something that once you realize something's wrong, correct the mistake. As an entrepreneur, one of my favorite things was learning from failures. I think in fantasy, there's a lot of owners that make that mistake on draft day. And even when they finally realize it's a mistake, they have a tough time letting go and moving on. Now, it's a careful balance there. It's a fine line to cross. You don't want to give up too soon. So each case is unique indeed. But just understand that when the time does come, when you are in agreement, said, okay, this didn't work out, move on. Don't get hung up in there. Don't continue to play bad players because of bad decisions you made on draft day. And I think that's a key takeaway as we look at some of those players that are disappointments, some guys that haven't panned out. So let's get into some injuries, a lot of injuries this week to talk about. And we'll start off with DeMarco Murray. His injury, not nearly as significant. He's really day-to-day with some hamstring issues. It's been lingering since the preseason. And we saw in this game in week 2 at Jacksonville that as the game went on, I mean, just 2 second-half touches there. So we thought he might have been hurt, but Derrick Henry got the hot hand here, finished with a career-high 92 yards. And DeMarco Murray through 2 weeks, a guy that, just like Jordan Howard, I'm sure sweating bullets here. I'm hoping it's the injury. The difference is Tennessee's a good team. I still think DeMarco Murray will have some value this year, and I think he could have RB1 value if he can get healthy. But Henry is what he is. I mean, he's going to have these big games, and he had one of the best games in any running back in football on Sunday. But the reality of it is consistency is tougher to kind. I do think he's going to be a little more consistent. We saw him as a rookie here. It's definitely looking like Henry gaining a larger role. When Murray gets completely healthy, though, will be when we really will tell the tale. Other injury situations from the week, and you can't get into it without that Sunday night football game. And, I mean, goodness, the Packers receivers were dropping like flies. Jordy Nelson, he left the game really early with a quad injury there during the first quarter against the Falcons. There was some speculation that, you know, maybe it was just a knee to his thigh. He was able to limp off the field. Not a lot of Monday updates in regard to him and where he stands with that injury. But at this point, we're holding our breath that it's nothing serious. Meanwhile, we do have some further news on his teammate, Randall Cobb, who later in the game also suffered an injury. This one was a shoulder injury. He had an MRI on it today here on Monday, and it came back negative. Ian Rappaport, NFL Network's, of course, calling the injury, quote, nothing major. It appears that Cobb, at least, will be locked in for week 3 against the Bengals. Should Nelson miss some time, and when Devontae Adams obviously gets in more involved, I think you could see an increase in Ty Montgomery, any of those other ancillary pieces for the Packers in that receiving core. These are guys that I'm not really interested in. Sam Bradford, that was a nice Sunday surprise. It wasn't really a surprise. As the week went on, it became more apparent that it was a reality. And indeed it was, as he did not dress, barely warmed up. Case Keenum got the start. So Right now, they're calling it a bone bruise. This is a week-to-week thing. We probably won't even start to get a clear picture of it till Wednesday when the team's first practice for the week. But I will say that you definitely have to downtick some pieces of this Vikings offense, some pieces that, quite frankly, I've been largely invested in all summer long, and I was very hopeful, namely Adam Thielen and the round that he went in. I think Kyle Rudolph was my I'm going to wait but not wait too long on tight end fallback option in a few leagues. And then, of course, Diggs didn't really pay the steep price on him, but still been high on him. So these guys all got downticked about 10 spots a piece at the receiver, about 4 or 5 spots at the tight end before the game day switch to my rankings. And I'm going to really have to look hard as I assess things moving forward if indeed Bradford has to miss more time. Injuries at the tight end position were abundant, and a lot of ones to get to here. And we'll start with Greg Olsen. Probably the most severe, obviously the most severe one as from what we know today. And that is the fact that this, according to ESPN's Chris Mortensen, Olsen will miss 6 to 8 weeks. This is following him undergoing a surgery to repair his broken foot, an injury he sustained here in week 2 against Buffalo. And this is just a huge hit all around out there. I think if they're Cam Newton owners, they've already been very much disappointed. This is another blow to that. So I don't know. This Carolina offense hasn't really looked all that impressive to me. It's been disappointing through 2 games how they've been able to really get Christian McCaffrey sparking that passing game. Nothing against him, just more of the play calling. But now the loss of Olsen. This one is going to have a ripple effect across that entire offense. So it's not a good thing in Carolina. Not the only tight end, though, out there. Jordan Reed, we know he's day-to-day with what they're calling a bruised chest. So he had a pretty good game. Not really all that crazy seeing his name on an injury report. But day-to-day is promising. He did exit with that chest injury there. And then Adam Schefter reporting Tyler Eifert dealing with back and knee injuries, which have his week 3 status apparently in doubt. So once again, Tyler Eifert, a guy that has missed so much time during his career, once again here shaky on the injury report. And let's face it, even if he plays, this Bengals offense hasn't scored a touchdown now through 2 games. And a new offensive coordinator, but another season sort of going down the tubes here quickly for those that invested in Kyler Eifert. And finally, Jimmy Graham, also questionable with an ankle injury for week 3. This, according to head coach Pete Carroll, he appeared to injure his left knee during the win. So now they're calling it an ankle injury. We'll get more information as the week progresses. But all 4 of those guys on the injury report, and 3 of them very much question their status is in doubt this week. Olsen, of course, his status is pretty cemented in stone. He might be heading to IR. Corey Coleman, another player that could be headed to IR, the Browns receiver, obviously not good news here. The same injury that he suffered as a rookie, the same hand, now is broken again. They're going for a 6 to 8 week time frame here, and this is another situation much like Greg Olsen. They have to make a decision. Are we going to put him on IR? How's this thing going? It does require surgery, so that is the bad news there. Last time it didn't require surgery, it still took him 6 games. So with him out, I mean, Kenny Britt, this guy has looked totally disinterested to this point of the season. I'm not interested in him at all. Rashard Higgins, interesting name. Activated him off the practice squad in advance of week 2's game. He came up big, indeed, last in that effort. So I don't know. I'm not crazy about it. This is a run-first football team, but if you need somebody, I mean, Higgins could be on your waiver wire in a deeper 12-team league that you might want to stash. He played 54 of the 71 snaps in week 2, 11 targets, finished with 7 catches for 95 yards. And, like I said, with Kenny Britt doing nothing and Coleman out, I think this is a guy that could quickly rise up the board. Rob Kelly, a running back that was injured during week 2's action, among a few other minor injuries. This one's mostly good news in terms of how it's going to impact him and what we're going to see there. But it was originally thought to be a bone injury. It turns out here that Kelly, they're calling it a rib cartilage. It was once feared a fracture, but now it's day-to-day. So that looks like there's a good chance he will play in week 3. We'll get an update on that status. Rookie Samaje Perine, he did come in. He's a guy that would go as a hot waiver wire pickup for sure if Kelly was out a significant time. It does not appear to be the case. And P. Ryan struggled here, so I'll get to it a little bit here in the waiver wire report, but we're going to slam the brakes on that just real quick. Before we get to our first look at week two waivers, let's finish up our week one analysis as we do every week. It's time to hand out our Get Sports Game Balls and our Game Used Sock Award. And let's start at that quarterback spot. Tommy Football, Tommy Brady, gets his bounce back game. Everybody saw it coming with the Saints and on tap, and he definitely went down to Bourbon Street and put a beat down on them. 447 yards through the air on 30 of 39 passing, three touchdowns. It's 35.3 fantasy points by my math. A big day for Brady. I'm also going to give one out, two of them out, to Carson Wentz and Trevor Siemian. They each get a game ball this week. And four touchdowns for Siemian, 231 yards. Wentz, 333 yards, two touchdowns. He was picked off. 46 attempts, only completed 25 of them, but one of only two quarterbacks to get to that 30-point plateau here in week number two. Let's go on to our running back game balls, and C.J. Anderson, he gets one for sure. He ran for a touchdown, he caught a touchdown, finished the day with 144 all-purpose yards, more importantly, 28 touches. What a game by him. We're also going to give one out to Todd Gurley, who pulled off the trick as well of catching and running one, and as did Ty Montgomery. They're going to get the game balls for the running back spot here in week number two. Let's go out to those receiver game balls, and how about Michael Crabtree? Didn't score once, not twice, but three times. Six targets, six catches, 80 yards. Half of them went for touchdowns. A big day against the Jets. We like what we saw from him. And Emmanuel Sanders, 8 catches, 62 yards, 2 touchdowns. One of the better draft day values out there. Was scooping him up pretty good there. And really like seeing him doing well. Jermaine Kearse also with a couple touchdowns, 4 catches, 64 yards. We'll go ahead and give him a game ball. He's a Jet, man. He needs something. And finally, our tight end game balls of the week. No surprises here. Rob Gronkowski, 6 catches, 116 yards and a touchdown. And Jason Witten. We're going to give him one over Travis Kelce. You also should get one with 103 and a touch. But, man, I will say I was a little down on Witten last week, and he proved me wrong. 10 catches on 13 targets, 97 yards, and a touchdown. He gets a game ball this week. But you know who's not getting a game ball? In fact, you know who's getting this week's Game Use Sock Award? Any guesses? Well, it's Jason Witten's teammate, Ezekiel Elliott. He might as well have been suspended for this one, because he was a non-factor as the Cowboys got rolled up on by the Broncos on Sunday, and 8 yards, just 8 yards rushing in the loss. Nine times he carried the football, and I'll tell you what, it looked pretty bad here. He couldn't get anything going against the Broncos, and it was just a rough time. So it was one of those games that if you're an Ezekiel Elliott owner, you probably got burned on, but there's a lot less of these than you'll see. But just really, it's hard to believe. 8 yards on 9 carries, 0.9 yards per carry for Ezekiel at Arizona, the Rams ahead. So some more tough defenses out there, but we're going to see better days ahead for the Broncos back. But this week, Zeke, playing or suspended or not, doesn't matter, buddy. You're getting our Game Used Sock Award. Let's wrap up the podcast. I like to do this every week. The place where, if you want my waiver wire picks, the only place I'm giving them out. The full list of them weekly is here on the podcast. I will not give them to you on Twitter. I will give them to you, I guess, if you're my email subscriber, which many of you are on the email coach service. You can learn about there at GetSportsInfo.com. But I think this week, there's not a lot of you want to really go big or heavy in on quarterback. I think Trevor Siemian's a guy you're definitely considered here. I mean, the offensive line's not that great, but that four touchdown day. So he, in a 12 team league where it's a little deeper, you want some insurance there at the position. This is a guy that job security now, especially with Lynch on IR, it appears to be pretty stable for him. I think Phil Rivers, if he's out there, guy that always has a great upside. And Carson Wentz, once again, that second tier, probably not out there in some leagues, but I mean, this guy has 333 two touchdowns and was one interception against the Chiefs. I like him. I love his upside. I mean, he's going to turn the ball over a little bit, but you definitely want to look at that. I think at the running back position, really not a lot out there, honestly. I mean, Derrick Henry's not available in your league. He had the biggest week. He was somebody drafted, you know, even if they didn't have DeMarco Murray. Just Javorius Allen, Buck Allen, if he's still out there, probably the best play. I'm not getting crazy about Samaje Perine just yet. He was probably drafted in a lot of leagues. I mean, if you want to roll the dice, but don't overpay for him. I think guys we recommended last week, Chris Carson, Tarik Cohen, these were guys that were worth a lot more. Carson now overtaking that job in Seattle. So something you want to definitely take a note of. But really, not a lot of running backs on waiver wire this week. I mean, if you have to have some, I mean, Chris Thompson, Jamal Charles, I think, Jalen Richard, a guy that is a deep, deep stash potentially. But I'm not buying into this Arizona backfield, I'll tell you that. You can have Kerwin Williams and Chris Johnson and Andre Ellington all day. No thanks for me. Wide receiver, tight end waiver wire updates. And I think really here we're in a lot of the same situations. We talked about Rashard Higgins a little bit. I think he's a guy that with the situation being with Coleman out, he's probably a great target there on waiver wire. I don't know. The Green Bay situation, now that Cobb is looking like he's going to play this week, I'm not as concerned there, so laying off the pieces. Brandon Coleman, I think, while Snead's out, will continue to see some action there, and you know, he could be in for a breakout campaign. Guy's a huge dude, 6'6". He did have 4 of his 6 targets, 82 yards, and a touchdown in that game this week. I'm not really rolling the dice on Curse. I think tight ends, Ben Watson, put him on your radar. 8 targets, caught all 8 of them. Looking good there, the veteran. But I don't know. I'm looking at the tight end position. I think Derek Cook, Gerald Everett of the Rams. Those are two guys that come to mind if you maybe one of your tight ends we talked about earlier hurt and out. So at the receiver and tight end position, pretty slim there as well. This is definitely a week where, you know what, I might make some waiver wire bids, but I'm just not investing heavily because the buys haven't started yet. There's not that big need. There's not a lot of stashes out there. So if you want, you can participate. Just don't overpay that steep, steep price. That's all the time I have for this evening. I do appreciate you for always for listening in and invite you to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud. Check it out at GetSportsInfo.com. Remember, 1 out of 5 reviews on iTunes or Stitcher will get the email coach service I'm offering this season. You'll get it for free. You can also get it for paying for it for less than $1 a week. Check it out there, GetSportsInfo.com. I'll be back Friday afternoon with the Happy Hour Week 3 edition. We'll preview the guys I like more, the ones I don't like less. We'll look at some trends, all the latest injury updates, everything you need to know as we head towards Sunday and kick off the Week 3's action. I'm really, really hoping that you're not 0-2 in too many leagues out there because you don't want to go 0-3. So listen in. I'll help you try to avoid that for sure. Until next time around, I'm Dan Klaskins. Thanks for listening. This has been the Get Sports Info Podcast.